Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I was having a little bit of technical difficulty this morning, but I am back. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I almost didn't do a show this morning dealing with some issues, and God said it was my assignment and that I can't not do what he has asked me to do. On yesterday, my great-grandson was called home to be with the Lord. He was a premature, and he came out with a heartbeat. Hallelujah. And as he was transitioning, I watched as a cross came across his forehead. And I felt confirmation that he was in the hands of Jesus. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, that my granddaughter didn't suffer and neither did he. And his father did not suffer as well. We wonder in our lives why things happen. But we all know that God is in charge of everything. You know, we can have our tears. We can have our crying. You know, we can have everything. But in all things, God is in charge. And God will show you who is what and how. You know, the enemy loves to kill, steal, and destroy. I give those things to God that I cannot control. And I have given even what I think I can control, because God controls everything. And I gave my little guy to God as we prayed over him and his parents on yesterday. The Holy Spirit just came in and swooped his little spirit away. And we felt it, but we spent time with him. We spent time with him. He was born at 12:26 yesterday afternoon, and he transitioned, I believe, at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. 2:26 yesterday afternoon. God gave him 3 hours, hallelujah, with his parents and the family that loved him. And so we give God all grace, all honor, and all power. And we thank God for the times that we have. So as we move forward this morning, we need to always remember who belongs to whom, and we belong to God. Don't get in your feelings. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. Leave it all in God's hands and let it go. And so I'm letting some things go, and I'm happy about it, because it's by his grace, by your grace. It's the word that God gave us in prayer this morning that I share with you before we start. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Matthew 6:14-15, a word that I needed this morning. God, you are so generous in your mercy to all. I cannot presume to be like you, yet refuse to forgive. With some people, it is easier to forgive them than not. The deeper the wound inflicted by the person, the harder it is to pardon them. When I'm finding it hard to let go of the right I feel over the pain that someone inflicted, give me the grace I need to trust that you are the only one who has the right to withhold forgiveness. And yet you don't. Keep my heart set on you so that even in this struggle, I go deeper into your heart of love. Your compassion covers a multitude of sins. I will look to your kindness and not theirs. Lord, when I need the gentle push in the right direction, may I not hold others to a standard I would not submit to myself. Cover me with your considerate love. Who do you need grace to forgive? Wow. When that shoe fits, boy, does God tighten it up. He does. Hallelujah. God knows what you need when you need it. Father God in heaven, I come to you right now with a repentant heart, asking you to remove any unforgiveness from my spirit. Before I go into your word, God, I ask you to cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, and cleanse my spirit. Lord God, I ask you to give me the strength to do what I do for you. For it's not about me, God. It's about your word going forth. And so, Father God, as I give myself away, please use me as you clean me up, God. Clean me up from the inside out. Clean my heart, my mind, and my spirit, God, that I can have a spirit of forgiveness for those that have hurt people that I love, for those that have hurt people that I care about, for those that have hurt me, God, I forgive. And I give them in all situations to you this morning, God. I release anything not like you from me this morning, God. I hand it to you and ask you, God, lead and guide me in the name of Christ Jesus, Father. I lift up this word, Lord God. May it touch someone's heart. May it touch someone's mind. May it touch someone's spirit. For I believe in you, God. I believe in the Father, and I believe in the Son, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. But it is you who sustain me. It is you who have brought me all this way, God. And I know you will not leave me or forsake me. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I lift up this word asking you, Father, to increase as I decrease. Lord God, I ask you, in the name of Jesus, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my heart, in your holy and divine sight. And may my heart be clean. Give me a clean heart, Lord God, and a right spirit within me, that I may worship you in spirit and truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We need to just say, let God breathe him in and let out all the other things that are not like him. I give it to God and leave it alone. It happened after this that Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father, and David's servant came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon to comfort him. And we read this story, I believe, in either First or Second Kings. And we understand that this young man listened to other young men and didn't understand the love his father had for David and the love David had for his father. He didn't understand. He did not understand it. So he went in a different direction. And it said, and the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent confidence to you that his servants not come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, and cut off their garments in the middle of their buttocks and sent them away. Some went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanun and the people of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Syrian Mecca, and from Zoba. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots with the king of Mecca and his people, who came and encamped before Medeba. After the people of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out to put themselves in battle array before the gate of the city. And the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be of good courage, that's my word, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered the city. So Joab went to Jerusalem. Now when the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought the Syrians who were beyond the river, and Shaphat, the commander of Abishai's army, went before them. So David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came upon them and set up in battle array against them. So when David had set up in battle array against the Syrians, they fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 charioteers, 40,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians, and killed Shaphat, the commander of the army. And when the servants of Hadassah saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. So the Syrians were not willing to help the people of Ammon anymore. Chapter 20 of the book of First Chronicles, chapter 19. And I am in chapter 20. Again, farewell the friends. They were like, we are not dying for you because you took something the wrong way. Sometimes folks want to take things the wrong way because they want someone else to be as bad as they are. We got to leave it alone and keep it moving because God is in charge of everything. It happened in the spring of the year at the time kings go out to battle, and Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it. Then David took the king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws and iron picks and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Now it happened afterwards that wait, that war broke out at Gaza. So there was still a scene. At which time, Shabbakai, Caiaphas, the Hashemite, killed Zippah, who was one of the sons of the giant, and they were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Elihan, the son of Zar, killed Lani, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. The shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war in Gath, where there was a man of great stature with 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. And he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shammai, David's brother, killed him. These were born in the giant. These were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. You know, an overview of what we had already read in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. you know, it's also going to be in First and Second Chronicles, because they are the chronicles of the king. You know, the things that people do because they think they're getting revenge. Revenge comes back on you. David didn't do anything to Hanun. All he did was show kindness. But Hanun took it the wrong way. And then came the war. You know, the one thing I know, that when you come to war against people of God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose everything. And you give it, when God takes, God takes. But when God gives, you give. But we have to repent. And we have to ask God to forgive us for our mouths, for the things we do, for the things we say. So we're not walking in hypocrisy. You know, that is, God has not no time for the lukewarm. One foot in, one foot out. We got to stop and learn how to put our tongue behind our teeth. And I know I could be guilty of that tongue wagging. And so I ask God, Lord, put my tongue back behind my teeth and forgive me for anything I have spoken that was not right. And I say it before all of you today, if I take it to you, if I have spoken anything to offend anyone, forgive me. Because I don't want to walk in offense. I have to give some things to God, and I had to. Because some things hurt your heart. It hurts your spirit. But God is in charge of everything. And we got to give it to God. And as we move forward, we go into the 78th Psalm. It's not going to be a long show this morning. I'm going to give you what God has given me. And we're going to keep moving forward. And it says in the 78th Psalm, starting at verse 26, he caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the sea, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, but he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in filthy, and the years in fear. Proverbs 19:27-29. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beatings for the backs of fools. Hallelujah. And a life lesson from Proverbs. Keep listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. We must never stop learning. Not only do we forget lessons once learned, new lessons always lie ahead of us, Peter said. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them. 2 Peter 1:12. We got to keep listening. We got to listen to the voice of God. We got to ask God to forgive us when we mess up. We got to clean up. Acts 8:26-40. And this is where our title is coming from this morning. You know, God woke me up with the situation that I had to deal with. So I was a little late doing what I needed to do. But then the Lord gave me this message. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that he is my Savior. And I give all my situations to him. I leave it at his throne. I'm not taking it to the phone. I took it to the throne. And that's where I need to leave a situation. And people that are hateful and hurtful and don't mind speaking and spewing the things that deal. And we got to give them to God and let it go. Leave it alone. Praise the Lord and keep it moving. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me, sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? When Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. God picked him up and took him away. Wow, Philip was all that and some. He was a true man of God. He had a Pentecost moment. The Holy Spirit picked him up and moved him to a whole new city. Don't tell me what God can do. Acts 8:37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Philip made wholehearted belief in the resurrection of Christ a prerequisite for baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. In baptism, we identify with the death and resurrection of Christ, and began a new way of living in his name. Romans 6:3-6. Hallelujah. What the Bible says about baptism, some answer. After the time of Pentecost, a Christian named Philip had a conversation with a man from Ethiopia. Philip told his new friend the good news about Jesus Christ. Eventually, the Ethiopian said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Acts 8:36. Philip replied, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Acts 8:37. This passage raises several important questions about the practice of baptism. Number one, who should be baptized? Some might assume that anyone who wants to be a church member should be baptized. However, that's the wrong answer. In reality, only those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior should be baptized. A mere mental affirmation of Christ's existence is not enough. Whether if you truly believe in Jesus, we must do something about it. We must confess, repent, and live in a new way. Oh, Lord Jesus. Number two, what is the proper method of baptism? Christians throughout the world recognize three methods of baptism. The first of these involved pouring the water over the head of the new believer. And that was what happened to me as a baby. Actually, as a baby, I was to the river and baptized. But I was sprinkled as a child when I accepted Jesus into my life. Excuse me, I was 9 years old, and I wanted to be saved. I had been involved in ministry and Sunday school and youth ministry and all those things, and I knew that I wanted to be a part of that. I knew who Jesus was, and I wanted to know that I wanted to join the church on my own. So I joined the church and accepted Jesus into my life as a nine-year-old. And it says the second involves sprinkling the water. And that is what I had from 9 years old until I was 54, I believe. 54, 55. I have to think about it. But it was in 2012, 4 years old, when I got baptized. And as I go and it says, are you never used? And let me go back to the word. It says, the second involves sprinkling the water. The final method of baptism is the full immersion of the person into the water. The Greek word for pour and sprinkle are never used in the New Testament in reference to baptism. Rather, the word for baptism comes from the Greek word that was used to describe such things as sinking ships. Romans 6 and 4 tells us we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is why we baptize by immersion, because immersion most closely represents the meaning of baptism and most vividly symbolizes the death and resurrection of Christ. And we do not submerge children until they are able to understand the word of God. Number three, what is the meaning of baptism? As stated before, the procedure of momentarily being immersed and being lifted presents a simple picture of the actions of Jesus himself. He was killed, buried, and resurrected from death. When we trust him as our Savior, we die to the old life and are raised to walk in newness of life in him, who suggests that one day we will rise from death itself to live eternally in heaven. Number four, what is the proper time for baptism? When the Holy Spirit empowers the church at Pentecost, we know that Peter preached the gospel and that those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. In other words, as soon as the people believed in Christ, they were candidates for baptism. Philip's Ethiopian friend was baptized without delay as well. As a general rule, the time for baptism is immediately after conversion. When we procrastinate in following this command, we break the commitment we made to follow Christ, surrendering our life to him. Obedience should never be delayed. What is the relationship of baptism to salvation? The word of God does not teach that baptism is a requirement for salvation, nor that the act itself saves us. In fact, the thief on the cross beside Jesus was saved without baptism. Clear and consistent teaching of Scripture is that we are saved through the grace of God when we believe in Christ as our Savior. Brother, baptism is our obedient response to Christ in the thankfulness for our salvation. Are you thankful this morning? Hallelujah. Have you been baptized in the Spirit of God? Why should we be baptized? The first reason we should be baptized is that Jesus commanded it. Matthew 8:28-19. Second, Jesus was baptized, and we should follow his example. Romans 8:29. Third, baptism is the picture of the life death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Romans 6:4. It serves as an encouragement to believers and a testimony to non-believers. Four, it is also a picture of our experience in salvation, that of dying to the old, sinful self and rising to walk in the new life of the Holy Spirit. Fifth, baptism identifies us with the body of Christ. Finally, baptism declares our faith in a future bodily resurrection. For all these reasons, Christian baptism is a joy, a privilege, and a pleasure for the children of God. And I can tell you, I watched a baptism recently, and a young man's brother was being baptized. And when the pastor asked, is there anyone else who would like to be baptized, who believes? And the brother of the one that was baptized started taking stuff out of his pocket, started taking off his socks and shoes, took off his sweatshirt. I'm thinking he took off his sweatshirt. He might not have taken off his sweatshirt. He might have went into the water in his sweatshirt, but he went down those steps. He ran to be baptized. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior right there, right then. And like the Ethiopian that still was baptized, he was baptized immediately. And when asked if he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he emphatically said, yes, I believe, and was baptized. We don't know the time or the hour that God will call us home. And we need to make sure that we have our lives, our minds, and our spirits right with God. If Jesus was baptized, we must be baptized too in the Holy Spirit. But we know that it is through God, the grace of God, and the belief in the Savior that we are saved. So I thank God for his love. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. And as our scripture, as we started this morning, by your grace, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. We got to forgive, and we got to let it go. God did not say forget. He said forgive. And so I give all those that hurt, that harm, you got to forgive. Whatever happens in your life, you got to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. I'll forgive. I let it go. I give it to God. And before we go and give it to God, we give a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And this morning, a word from our sister is this. Sometimes we worry too much about the outcome of things, but we realize God has already taken care of it. Have a worry-free Wednesday. And that is what I'm going to do. Have a worry-free Wednesday. I gave everything to the Lord, and I'm leaving it there. Give everything to the Lord and leave it there. Let God arise in his enemies. Your enemies be scattered today. Give it all to God. Worry not, because if you worry, that means you're not praying. So we pray, we give it to the Lord, and we move forward. So thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. Not a long word today, but it was a great word. And I thank you, and I praise God, and I give it all to God, and ask God to be the judge of us all. And I say to you this morning, who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I know that I know he is my Savior. Family, that's all I got. If there's anyone that has a word from God, now is the time to push that one on your phone. And if there is no callers that would like to speak this morning, say to you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a wonderful and blessed day. And one more time, before we get out of here, baptism, Sam answered. Who should be baptized? We spoke on that. What is the proper method of baptism? We know it's immersion. And those that should be baptized are those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's who should be baptized. Again, what is the proper method of baptism? It's immersion. What is the meaning of baptism? And it is that he was killed, buried, and resurrected from death. When we trust him as our Savior, we trust in Jesus. We die to the old life. So baptism is dying to the old life and being raised to walk in the newness of life in him. And it says this, what is the proper time for baptism? And it tells us, Dr. Stanley says it very well, when the Holy Spirit empowered the church at Pentecost, we know that Peter preached the gospel and that those who gladly received this word were baptized. And what is the relationship of baptism to salvation? The word of God does not teach that baptism is a requirement for salvation, nor that the act itself saves us. In fact, the thief on the cross beside Jesus was saved without baptism. The clear and consistent teaching of Scripture is that we are saved through the grace of God when we believe in Christ as our Savior. Baptism is our obedient response to Christ and thankfulness for our salvation. So baptism is thanking Jesus for saving our souls. And so we die to the old and are raised to the new. Why should we be baptized? As Dr. Stanley says, the first reason we should be baptized is that Jesus commanded it. And we're going to go really quick, and I thought we were going to close, but we're not. It's my second closing, y'all. Matthew 28 and 19. So join me in Matthew 28, 19 really quick, and then we will be closing. And I will be coming out of the King James Version. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that is a word from Jesus. And that is a word from me. Have a blessed day, family. As Jesus said, he is with us to the end of the world. And I ask you all to keep my family in your prayers as we go through a difficult time. And I again keep all of us in prayer. But we don't know what each of us are going through. So I pray for you as you pray for me. I need you. We all need God to survive. Have a blessed day. And again, may the Lord watch between us. As we depart this place, may his light shine upon us and give us grace. We ask God's grace and mercy to cover us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. May you be blessed today and always. Have a blessed day, family. Until that, my final closing.